So are you agreeing with me?
Yeah, straight down the line.
Straight down the line.
Yep.
The only one that is throwing me is three.
Yeah, three is a process of elimination for me. Like, I wouldn't have called it anything except that I think that I know the other ones.
Yeah, same. I think the one for me that's the outlier is the Jay Rieger. And so I kept, every time I'm like, is this Jay Rieger? Is this, like, for whatever reason, and that was my North Star.
Mm.
And so I kept thinking through each one.
Yeah, but you had several wild cards in there bouncing around.
Yeah.
Free radicals, if you would.
If you had
the scotch and the 20-year. Who the fuck knows what that tastes like?
I know, right?
And the Rieger, yeah.
I kind of want to go back through them all, but, you know, that would make for a two-hour-long podcast.
When do we try Infinity?
I think I'm ready.
Infinitize. I'll just sip it out of here.
I think this Jay Rieger is really going to improve the Infinity.
Yeah.
I'm going to try my Infinity pre and post.
Oh, you would.
Jay Rieger. Of course I will.
All right. I'm going into my Infinity. The smell seems to have mellowed from everything. Like, it doesn't seem to be singular. I get lots of sherry.
It's a lot smoother. And a lot more smoke on mine. Back end.
And I did not add the scotch.
I think the Infinity might be the best thing I tasted.
Really? So what you're learning is just put all your shit in a vat and right? It'll taste great.
Or maybe, you know, decant everything.
Wait, mm-hmm. Jack, let's trade Infinities. Mine is Riegerless. I think it needs the Rieger.
No, wait. Switch back.
Wow.
Let's go clockwise.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not taking Matt's.
So, well, I guess let me describe mine first. My Infinity is a little bit too much of nothing. It's just a little bit bland. Everything is very mellowed together. It doesn't punch in any particular way.
Well, and yours, Matt, has the most water because you added the most water.
That's right.
On the jet. Ooh.
This is Matt's. I don't even need to like look at it again. There's too much water in it.
Jack's is interesting. There is the least of it because Jack is a lush. But it is really good. Like, really good.
Yeah, and I don't know what.
Is Infinity, if we're going to look for really absurd analogies that people still listening to a podcast can't experience. It's a sharp cheddar.
This is the sharp cheddar?
This is a sharp cheddar of Infinity glasses. Yes, mine has more water because I taste things with water and it opens.
No, like
I'm better than both of you. So
yeah, that's clear.
For doing that, yeah.
This is sharp cheddar, and I think, and this doesn't have scotch in it,
no.
Or at least what we think is scotch.
Mm-mm. And it does not have the Jay Rieger.
That's bizarre.
This tastes more like
water. Sharp cheddar.
Yours is good.
Yours is good.
We said the same thing.
Yeah. Well, yours is more. If Billy's as a sharp cheddar is a triangular slice, yours is more of a mound of shredded pepper jack.
Mm.
Well, let me get on board this cheddar train at the moment because I have not tried it since people said this.
No, I think sharp cheddar is good.
We should only equate whiskey to cheese.
Yeah, that'll be relatable.
Yeah.
Our Wisconsin audience will just like explode.
Oh, yeah.
That is a mild cheddar.
Nope, you're wrong.
At best. It's just, I don't know. Wait, but I'm going to Rieger it. And now it's going to be more Rieger than it was going to be because we've drank a lot of it.
Yeah.
So let me.
Well, he does that. I'm going to tell you the moment I peaked in life.
That is the best opening to any story. Like if you are trying to write
a terrible story,
a book. And you want to get published. Let me tell you the moment I peaked in life is
an amazing opening line.
Maybe I can repeat by writing a book.
God, that is so good.
I'm 16. I was a cashier at Hy-Vee. That is a regional.
I know Hy-Vee. I'm so, my heart warms. Hy-Vee.
When college, Hy-Vee, when they put a Hy-Vee in, that's where we got the beer that you could not get. Because you used to not be able to get
great
craft
liquor
beer.
Store.
Interesting.
It was just not a thing. We used to, every time we got a new distillery or brewery, we're like, yes, now you could just go out to one store and rack up more breweries than you ever could in your whole life. But we had like, we're like, we have 40 breweries.
Hy-Vee started in Iowa.
You were a cashier?
I was a cashier. And, well, I started as a, you know, cart, you know, the do everything fucker.
The cart boy.
The cart boy, the stock boy, the whatever. And then I was a cashier. And so I was cashiering and, I was sending things down the conveyor belt, as yes. one does towards the bagger.
Right.
What I was when I was at the bottom of the totem pole, as a plebe, and the bagger, the, peon, the peasant cut themselves on a bag of cheese.
Ooh.
He said, fuck, ow, in front of customers.
Yes.
And there was like a little bit of blood.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I looked at the bag and I looked back at him and I said, it is sharp cheddar. And it's been downhill in every facet of my life since that moment. And that's this. Yeah, that's when I peaked.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a sharp cheddar.
That is.
Deadpan. The fact that I didn't laugh.
Yeah, that's good.
At all.
And you saw
I couldn't do that now.
Yeah.
I couldn't play that.
No, I mean,
cool.
That's when you peaked.
Yeah, that is when I peaked.
How does your infinity glass of concocting over
so
there?
So I've concocted, and I think it has improved, but maybe a little too much scotch.
Mm. We'll do one more pass around the horn, and then we'll call in the pourer.
I really do think if you wanted to take the time, you could create an unbelievable blend.
Of that these. Just tastes like scotch to me.
And suit it to your personal taste.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely too far... Mm-hmm. Down 5 tastings in an infinity glass.
Yep.
But this has got too much of number 4 in it.
Yep, 100%. That's kind of where I ended up with it. Yeah, it's funny on the expectation thing. The fact that you told me that number 3 is potentially like a 20-year blended, I'm like, I'm so interested in this now.
Yeah.
Whereas before I was kind of dismissive of it.
Yeah.
That does go both directions though, because you're kind of like, well, Matt is walking back. I will wait to explain this. So Matt, we're discussing number 3.
Yes. I poured a little bit more in number 3.
Okay.
We're discussing number 3 and the idea of expectation, right? So I tried number 3.
I washed my hands.
Before
I'm proud of you.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to finish my sentence. The idea of expectation and how Jack telling me that this is potentially a 20-year blended, you know, it's like, wow, that's really cool.
Number 3?
We think. We don't know.
I have that as number 3 as well.
Okay.
Yeah. We're in lockstep. And I'm just going to keep talking.
So I'm wondering now, like, as I go back to it, I haven't tried it again yet. Is the question, am I going to conform this to meet my expectations, right? Or is hearing what it is potentially a cue that I missed something and like a chance to pay, you know, more attention to it or to look for something in particular, right? Like we talked about trying the scotch, thinking that it was going to be bourbon and missing all the good flavor of it because you were looking for it to be this bourbon, right? Yep. And, you know, I kind of have this idea of what a sherry whiskey is, which is not something that's 20 years, right? Yeah. It's something that is a good whiskey. Like I think the Dram is a great example, like, High West puts out good whiskeys, right?
And the Dram is highly sought after.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great, great bottle, but like the underlying whiskey is good, but not great whiskey, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. There's nothing, you would not, if they hadn't done it in the particular way that they did it, right? If it didn't have sort of High West touch, you would say, this is a good whiskey.
Yeah.
When they do their sherry aging and their, you know, very particular blending and that kind of thing, you say like, wow, this is phenomenal. It is the sherry that makes it what it is. In this, if you're talking about something that's a 20-year blended, like there's some really good whiskey underlying to be appreciated, which is potentially not what I was looking for before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it goes back to expectations.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Here's a request.
Yeah.
Have an economist at some point.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Because I'm wondering if whiskey is one of those categories where there's obviously the supply and demand, but it impacts like MSRP for Weller or for Pappy has to, maybe it's climbed a little bit, but it's not become outlandish. Like I assume MSRP for like a Weller 12 is still like $60.
Yeah.
And they're going to sell it for 110, 120, maybe more.
Yeah.
Is it just one of those categories where people know they're being fucked, but they're happy?
So wait, but I want to pick up that track. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Hold that thought.
I took the like econ, whatever the one that was one more
than price elasticity is just, it's lost its mind.
Right. Yeah. So like I took the econ that was like one greater than the like basic econ that all the freshmen took. And the professor asked this question that has stuck with me to this day, which is what thing can you think of that costs more, which means it actually has a higher value? Because most things, if you can get it for cheaper, you will. Right.
Right.
So the only thing we could come up with is diamonds.
Ooh, I would have said art.
Art is a great answer. Mm-hmm. And it totally fits and it works.
And potentially sneakers.
Oh, that's interesting. That wasn't even a world when.
Yeah, that would not have been true at the time. But I think it's
but
true
that's
now.
An interesting one where the more it costs, it might actually be worth more. Mm-hmm. So today,
watches.
See, but here's the thing.
But no, if you could get a Patek Philippe for $500, you would buy it because that's a deal.
Yep,
that's right.
Whereas if you saw a diamond for $500, you're like, there's probably something wrong with it.
That's true.
And I don't think I want it.
I might also think that about the watch.
That's probably true, but you might say that's a steal and I can fix it.
Yeah.
That's adding more complications to it, no pun intended, to the thing. Uh-huh. But
the question, it seems to me, is whether or not there is an independent objective basis for value, right? Or not even objective. There is just an independent basis for value.
But what I'm adding on top of that is when you raise the price, does that indicate more value?
Right, right. So I think what the constant is if you take something like a Patek Philippe, right? There is a value of that.
Yeah.
And if you raise the price of it, you say, I have this general understanding of what this is, right? There is this established market for it. Raising the price, I still want it at the lower price. And if you can give it to me really cheap, I know that there is an established price and this is cheaper, right? If you take something like art, there is no established price for art writ large, right? Yeah. And any given piece of art is to be determined how valuable it
art
is
literally
right?
demand. That is literally the price is set by demand.
Yeah.
Right.
Or what you're, I was going to say what you're willing to pay for, which is the definition of demand.
So. Right. And so it's like, if you take a piece of art and you sell it, that is the first time that anyone has assigned value to this thing. It is the sole expression of value for this thing at this point. Right.
But that only works mostly with new artists.
Right.
So like if you go to Van Gogh town and you can
twice, maybe three times.
Yeah. He's a good guy. Is he? and you can get it for $400. You're going to be like, I don't care what's on the canvas. Yeah. Is his name in the corner?
It's literally his shit.
Yeah. Right. I'll buy it.
But this is my point, right? Because there is an established value of Van Gogh.
Right. So you're saying unestablished, like art is the perfect example because it has an unestablished value and it's literally whatever it costs.
Right. And sneakers fit because if you debut a sneaker at $600, right, versus like if somebody offers you something that is going for $600 and then offers you to a 20, you're like, sure.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's kind of the underlying question there.
It's like art in that it's very subjective. But I think like with whiskey, it's because there's so many whiskeys and everything is so subjective. And like wine or anything else you put in your mouth. I haven't tried everything. I have a deficit of knowledge and experience. So I'm going to defer to the masses.
Yeah.
So whenever that waterline rises, that indicates value to you for whiskey in a way that it doesn't for other categories.
I don't think it works for whiskey because the masses are dumb. Right.
Right. Exactly why if you give me a whiskey, if you just two whiskeys I've never heard of, you say this one is $12. I pulled that out of my ass. $12 and $150. That is the better whiskey. The hundred whatever dollar. The more
right.
Expensive.
So you're saying the value is coming from the price, which was my question. Yeah. No, I think you're
Pappy is good. Pappy is deemed good because At this point, we've gone to a point where there's like so much of a saturation of, oh yeah, Pappy's is an elite thing because it's so expensive.
Yeah.
Not because everyone's tasted it, but because it is a known expensive good.
Right.
I think there are two interesting things here. So one, if you take us, who has tried a lot of whiskey, right?
Yeah.
Price will definitely color our perception, but only so far.
Yep.
Right. There is a point at which I go, I don't care if this is expensive. I don't like this. Right. Because I've tried enough.
Yeah.
If you take somebody who has never had good whiskey in their life, they've only had Jack Daniels and they know that Jack Daniels is not particularly good.
Right.
And you hand them a glass of Pappy and you say, this is good whiskey.
Yeah.
And they try it. You have just set the bar for what good whiskey is. They then decide I do or do not like good whiskey.
Yeah.
They do not decide whether the whiskey itself is good.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so in that sense, like the price and the expectation defines what it is. And the person decides whether they like what it is, as opposed to making their own sort of assessment of it.
But I think that's only flawed in the fact that that's true. If you only drink Jack Daniels and all of a sudden you go from an old Honda Civic to a Lamborghini. But like, what if you're really used to Audis and somebody gives you like an Aston Martin? That's a terrible analogy.
No, but it, I mean, I think you I was kind of, my critique was the same, which is like, there is the middleman saying this is good.
Yeah.
And that's kind of becomes a wrinkle in all of this. But I think when it comes to whiskey, I think it is, a lot of it's based on your experience and your first experiences with quote unquote good. And where did you encounter good?
Yeah.
And did the good come from a bartender? Did it come from a good friend? Did it come from a price tag?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know for me, for a long time, up until like 2 years ago, I would have said it's price tag. Like I would have said, oh, well, I've only paid over $80 for one whiskey, which must mean that's the best thing in my collection, which is not true. Like that wasn't the best thing, but because of the price tag, I assumed it was.
Right.
And I think what this experience in general, especially our tasting today, has taught me is like price doesn't really matter.
It's a feedback loop though that people are easily bought into.
Yes, absolutely.
So with this in mind, I have a little test here. I have two glasses, so I'm going to need you guys to be careful with them. I want you to tell me which numbers they are.
Okay.
Right. So you've had all of these.
The straight pours are there.
Yeah.
Yep. Straight pours.
Okay. I like that. I go first.
So maybe you should write your answer down as to not color Jack.
So he's got, Billy poured two. He sort of grabbed one of them.
So I'm left and right.
Okay. Yep. And we're supposed to guess. Although that's going to
change when I hand that to Jack.
Well, no, we can rotate it. So it's the same for me. So we're supposed to guess if this is two or three?
No, which of them it is. So I have poured some.
Well, I know it's two or three.
Well, that's not helpful, Jack. Fine.
You know it's two or three?
Yeah, I do. Because I poured three and I saw him pour two.
Fine.
Okay.
Ruined my game.
Sorry. I am curious to see if I can taste the difference, though, because there is a definite memory of what those are. But I don't know if I can pinpoint. So this is left hand?
Left.
Right hand?
Yep.
Three, two.
Which one? Left hand is what?
Right hand is three. No, right hand is two. That was based on smell. It's still holding up on taste.
Yeah, my memory might be shot, but I had it the opposite. Left is two, right is three.
After I previously proclaimed that we could not confuse any of these whiskeys for any other.
Yeah, we have confused them for each other.
Yep.
But do you know what they are?
I hope so. Potentially, we just played, you know, the hat game at the baseball game?
Yeah.
The ball into the hat. We just played that. And so
three card money with
we baseballs? May have to do a side-by-side test to confirm.
So left hand was?
I believe.
But you don't even know what you picked up at this point, do you?
No, he does.
Wait, I do. But just give me a second. Like I said, we just played the hat game.
Sorry.
Three card money. And I need to rework. Well, actually, you know what? Spin them around. Let me try this. I will just close my eyes. You can spin them around. Let me try this. And then we'll just side by side taste it to figure out what it is.
Yeah. All right. So this is new left hand.
Yep.
extra long,
new right hand,
extra good.
And I think that I can do this because I tried them again and I knew what they were, and I have a more recent memory. I have an unfair advantage in this.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
Unlike in other things.
All that to say, sherry cask is delicious.
That is the Stranahan's.
Well, what we're calling number two. Cherry Bingo.
Not my number two.
Yeah. Cherry.
Ah, damn it. I'm confused.
Yeah. They are remarkably similar.
They tasted so different. Actually, I'm sure that is what we're calling number two. That is what we're calling number three.
Yeah. And that's what I thought too.
I think the opposite. And you don't have no idea which one they are at this point.
So here's a question. On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you be willing to wager in your correctness?
Of that or in the correctness of the bottles?
Of this, of which is number two and which is number three.
I'll give myself a 5.
Oh, I'm at like 8.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty certain.
Hubris.
But only because I know. Well, that's my downfall always.
Right.
But I think because of the literally because of the Cherry Bing.
Also, you had sex with your mother.
That's Oedipus's downfall.
Yeah. And it was his mother. It wasn't anyone else's mother.
Right.
Lots of people has done that. Your dad has done that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Not talking about Jack's mother, just to be clear.
We're talking about your mother.
Yeah. My mother is a saint.
All right. Do you guys want to find out which is which?
I do. Wait, on which one?
On all of them.
So we'll never know on this.
Well, we can come back to that, but I feel like
it really would be worth
doing. Okay, let's close the loop so that if I want to edit it out, I can edit the whole thing out.
Okay, let's close
edit my loop.
Somebody with a...
Once told me.
I have a clean glass.
You have a clean glass?
World.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to pour three into
pour
mine.
Pour two into mine. Or yours.
Here's three.
Wash it out.
No, that is three. If we wash that out, we will have lost three. Don't want to wash that out.
Oh, this might be wrong. Who are we gonna? There's not a lot in here, so I'm not.
So you got to do that. Well, we'll do a test of three, and we'll do a test of two.
Are the bottles wrong, or were you wrong?
No.
We'll do a test. This is what we guessed was three. You might be right. Is the point?
So you're going to try what I guessed is two.
Okay.
And a side by side.
Okay. Where's three?
What? All right, now I am flabbergasted that this what I just poured I know is three is three.
Which is this?
That is two. And then what is this? Is this the same as that? That's all you're telling me is.
I don't think so. I would switch them.
Nope, I would switch them too. Matt was right.
Nicely done, yes! Matt. So that just proves an entire section of the podcast entirely wrong when we sat there and said, oh, you would not confuse any of these. Nope, Jack and I confused totally them with confused the confidence them. Of eight.
Yeah.
It proves I'm infallible and unimpeachable, as I keep stressing to you.
Yes. Yeah. There's actually this really interesting game.
Your newsletter really reinforces that.
It just does two things over and over. 180 words.
There's this game that we kind of just played in a weird way. Where you're supposed to give a 90% confidence interval, right? Or say 95% confidence interval. So somebody says, how many feet is it from here to the moon? And you're supposed to give a range, right, that you think contains that number. And you do this with 20 different examples, the idea being that you get 95% of the examples right.
Okay.
It is incredibly challenging to determine what you actually have a 95% confidence interval in, right? So it's like, you know, if I ask you, Matt, how many people are in Los Angeles? Give me an answer that you have a 95% confidence interval. And like, what's the range of the number of people in Los Angeles? 9 to 12 million.
Mm-hmm. But are we talking greater Los Angeles or are we talking LA proper?
Metro area.
Metro area.
Okay. Metro area, 95% certainty?
Yep.
And I could pick any range?
Yeah, you could pick any range. So this is what makes it hard. So the
one who's 100 million.
Well, the winner is the one who has the narrowest range, right?
So the way that it works is you do 20 of these.
Okay.
And so the person that wins is the person that gets the closest to 95% of them correct.
Gotcha.
Because you could obviously get 100% correct, right? You could obviously get 0% correct.
Yeah, you could just say 100 million.
Right. So the question is, how good are you at assessing... what your 95% confidence interval is, right? And it's remarkably challenging.
Go ahead.
I would say 10 to 15.
Okay. What is it?
I don't know. I'm going to guess. I think 6 to 12
covers it. And what did you say?
9 to 12.
And I said 10 to 15.
Mm-hmm. I had the most narrow.
Let's ask the internet. Los Angeles population.
We got to do LA Metro.
Okay. The county seat of Los Angeles is 4 million.
See, that's what I mean. Like the 13 million is the answer.
Woo. Los Angeles Metro.
13.1 is
13.1
is what I have.
What was my range? I don't even remember now.
You said something to 12 and you said 9 to 12 and I said 10 to 15.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just an interesting game. But the fact, to tie it back, is that Jack and I were very sure that we were right. And
yeah, we were.
Remarkably.
And I was the closest, and therefore I went again.
You know, and what's funny is the reason
I
brought it up in the first place is I went back and I tried three because I found out that it's, you know, this potentially this 20 year. And I was like, holy shit. And I tried it and I was like, wow, I like this more than two now. Mm-hmm. And then when you reblinded them, I picked, I was like, oh yeah, this was the one that I liked.
Yeah.
And I decided that that was three. And really, I think what we've learned is that I just like two better unless you tell me I should like three better.
Exactly.
So long as it's blind.
Mm.
This does not say good things about my personality.
No, absolutely not. Also, close your eyes when you drink.
Yeah.
Mm.
You should tell the bartender to just pour you something.
Yeah.
We do that.
But that is an interesting test, right? It's taste it blind, taste it unblind, and then retaste it blind.
Yeah, see if you can pick it out.
And see what, I mean, that literally A-B tested the expectation.
It'd be really fun to go to a bar like Seven Grand or your local favorite whiskey bar that say to them, pour me two things in the same category of a roughly the same price range, but don't tell me what they are.
Yeah.
Give me an off list flight.
Yeah, exactly. Like, give me a three pours, all of them sherry cask. Mm-hmm. Your budget is, you know, $50 or whatever you decide it is. Like, that would be really interesting. Because if you go to a place that's knowledgeable, I feel like they could do that and do it really well. I was telling you, I don't know if I did this on the podcast or if I just told you in person. I did this really great taste at Tam O'Shanter's. It was, you know, like great old whiskeys. And I said, I want one more pour. I just feel like I need one more. I don't want to pay $50 for it. I just want a normal pour. And she poured me that Alberfetti 12. Is that the right name of it?
Yeah, I think so.
And it was delightful. And it's like a $12 pour. It's so good. You know, it's one of those, it's just a great Highland Scotch. It's just really well done. And it fit in with all these like 25-year-old Boone Havens that I was drinking. It was just like, it was delightful. It was really, really nice.
Oberfetti?
Alberfetti.
Alberfetti.
Yeah.
So when do I learn what I put in my mouth?
In what order?
Yeah, let's find it out.
Let's ask Erica. She's the one that poured them.
Erica.
She's engrossed in her audiobook.
Erica.
Erica. Here she comes.
Erica. Okay, I guess
we're not doing a barbershop. Erica, would you like my microphone? No, you're
fine. So, can you tell us the order of what we had?
Number one.
Okay.
Number one.
Where is it?
This one?
Yeah. This was one that you had.
No.
No.
Did you B?
So that's the Scotch.
No. I refuse to believe. Yeah, I want to try this now.
So number one is Bemore 15.
All we have learned is that Erica can't keep bottles straight when she pours. That's I've determined.
That's a lie.
No, that's 100%. That is not what happened.
I am gobsmacked. That's exactly what I wanted to happen. It's great. No,
I was so sure.
God. Well, shouldn't you know based on the bottle? Pardon me.
No, I don't know anything.
It totally is a Scotch. It is undeniably.
Yeah, let me taste this.
There is not even a question that that is a scotch.
Yeah.
How did we miss that that is a scotch?
I like have been drinking. I drank half this bottle. I should know what this tastes like. And I was convinced that this that was the dram.
Unquestionably a scotch.
Oh, yeah.
And
are
we thought
sure that was number one.
It's got the B on the bottom.
And it says number one. That is 100% what we drank first.
And that's definitely Bemore. That's what I poured in there. That's amazing. All right, what's number two?
Number two.
Wait, I want to see if I can re-guess them now.
Nope.
Are you locked in or do you want to know?
Wait, so if one is the scotch, then...
I'm going to flip one and two now.
Two and I...
I my brain can't function anymore.
I had Midsummer as number one and Bowmore as number two, so I'm going to flip that.
I still think number two is Stranahanahanahanans.
Yeah, you're wrong. I think so. And I think maybe three is the...
I'm going to die on this hill, though.
I like that you're sticking to it. You're not wishy-washy.
I have no idea, but I'm going to try these as you call them out.
Not like old Bill.
Not like old Bill.
Wishy-washy Bill.
Old wish-wash.
What we've learned is I need to stop doing this podcast because I know nothing.
Number two. What is number two? No!
Number two is the Rieger. That was the harshest.
I'm going to kill myself.
So no? Are you sure? So I want to try it from number two. So that means that the really sweet one that we had that we thought was the Rieger, that's got to be the dram.
Oh, that makes sense. So, okay, this is the Rieger is number two. So that's, is this a special or no?
No.
Jay Rieger's.
I don't know what this.
Wait, so I'm going to take a tiny sip of this. And then where's the bottle?
We're confirming that Erica didn't.
I didn't
change them, but
I mean, the first one is undeniably scotch. Yeah, when you try
it's a scotch. It's clear.
Like, it's incredible how stupid I feel that I could
That makes it. Well, I just drank it out of the bottle.
Yeah.
Come here. Oh, yeah. Here it is.
That's out of that. This is amazing. I have never been so wrong.
Is that the same?
It doesn't taste like the same.
I don't think that's the same.
No.
No.
Oh, now I'm questioning. Maybe I did.
So
wait here.
Give me some of the Jay Rieger.
Here.
This is it?
Pour one in here.
This is two. On. Water it.
Wait.
Did you not write it down?
I didn't write it down.
You did?
I did not.
Oh. All right. I do not think that these are the same thing.
I couldn't possibly switch to
is the right. I think that that would be.
So this class is.
Mm-hmm.
Rieger. Another different.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That makes me feel slightly better. Because I was like, two is the harshest. And I expected Rieger to be the least harsh.
No, they're different. What is two? So then that means it's. Yeah. Oh.
Two is the dram.
Or is one Midsummer and we've been fooled.
No, one is a scotch.
No, it has the B on the bottom.
One is undeniably a scotch.
I'm sure that one. I think I might have switched to
it. Okay, that's fine. So number two is Midsummer Nights. That's this, right?
I don't think so.
What do you mean?
I think that doesn't taste like butterscotch to me.
Wait. No,
this is Jay Rieger because he poured it out of the bottle.
Yeah.
And this is from, this and this are the same. Sorry.
So what do we think number two is?
Number two is Midsummer. Compare the noses, Billy.
So far, we're good.
Okay, yeah.
I think
that makes sense.
I just switched two and three. I'm really sorry, listeners.
We're going to edit all of this out.
I'm not sorry to you guys. You guys are having so much fun right now.
Yeah, we're enjoying ourselves. I'm sorry that this is confusing.
Well, I taste test them just to be sure. So it kind of makes sense because two is hot, and we talked about how it has rye in there, right?
Sense.
It should have a little.
I just thought
be the glass, but I don't think they smell the same.
Don't die on this hill.
I was not.
I only die on hills.
Yes. You would never die on the plains.
Mm-mm.
I don't know if they're the same.
I had the same question. I was just hoping I was wrong.
I don't think they're the same.
Oh, no. Come on. Give me.
This is the best podcast ever.
It can't be the other one. I know I did the other one.
They smelled the same, and they were close enough in taste that I was willing to just go with it. But I wanted a supporting opinion.
I don't know.
But
one of these has a K on the bottom.
One of these whiskeys is not like the other.
This one has a K.
Which one?
So number four is Kirkland.
Okay. Oh, wow. So we've set up a logic puzzle for ourselves. So one is Bowmore. Four is Kirkland.
God, I'm doing the LSAT all over again.
Yeah.
And just as drunk.
Yeah.
That's my best joke of the night. No one laughed at it.
I liked it.
So okay. So wait, what was my tasting note on four?
What are we called?
Wait, I need to look at my list of. I'm glad I wrote this down. The problem with this problem is that the more that you test it, the more impaired you become.
Yeah,
feeling pretty impaired.
Okay,
but that means number five is Stranahan's.
I don't know. We've got three to shuffle. The three card money ourselves on.
We have the three card money.
So number four. We decide is the 20-year, right?
Yeah.
The Kirkland?
Completely backwards.
No, yeah. You didn't.
The B, so Bowmore was number one.
Number two is the last one that I poured.
Is that Stranahan's?
Wait, which that would then my order everything. Would be correct.
That would explain everything.
Okay.
But then I'm super embarrassed that I decided that the one was undeniably
so you think
Scotch.
What, so you're saying what this is what?
Two.
This could possibly be number two.
This will be the easiest. Four was the most. No, five was the most distinctive.
Five then would be Rieger because that was the first thing you brought out.
Which one is the one in the team?
I think that's five.
That's this
one. Is it?
So we're saying if you did them backwards, it would go
this
number
would be two.
This would be two.
But I did this one last in the team.
You did. You for sure did.
Okay. So the Midsummer and the Rieger. We got to decide.
I am confused.
There's so many glasses.
Okay. I'm just pouring all the glasses into one glass. Okay. What we can't do is we can't run out of the things in the bottle because then we lose the ability to.
Right.
So if you pour from a tasting bottle, a blinded bottle, pour gently. All right. So we think this is how we think Stranahan's is which based on the order.
Five
of
or two.
Okay.
She says it's definitely five.
Mm.
And five was the sweetest, right?
The one that you thought was Rieger.
Mm-hmm. I said four. Yeah, I did. Yeah. I said four or five were the ones that I.
Yeah, I feel comfortable.
I was confused by the Kirkland. So, value buy Kirkland 20-year.
We liked it, right?
Price point?
$60.
$60.
I still don't know.
That's a steal.
What is
Go
what?
For that.
I think it was $62.
That's
what is this?
That's what I just poured from the Stranahan bottle.
Number 5.
Which I think is right. I think that is number 5.
Oh yeah. I think so.
So what we've learned is that Stranahan's is freaking ridiculously good.
It's distinct. Yeah. That's definitely
like that is an incredibly
glad
unique.
I'm taking that home.
Single malt whiskey
again.
Cherry cask that
thank you guys.
Has so much flavor that we thought
what a house
they literally
gift.
Poured sherry in it.
Yeah, we thought there was sherry in that, and there's not.
Cheers to Stranahan's for that one. And to Matthew for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we know what five is. Five is
done.
Is decided.
And we know that one is Bowmore,
mm-hmm.
because I put a B on the bottom.
Yep.
And we know that four is Kirkland, because I put a K on the bottom.
Right.
So the only question is
Midsummer and Rieger.
Two and three. So can we have the Rieger? I think that this is the Rieger.
But you're just holding Midsummer. A glass. That doesn't mean anything.
Sorry. I think this glass that used to be Matt's is the Rieger.
That also doesn't mean anything to me.
So smell this compared to the bottle smell.
This is butterscotch.
And butterscotch was?
Midsummer.
Was three.
So I was right. Rieger's
nope. You said Midsummer was two. So Rieger's too.
I would make, but originally Rieger's was two.
That's what I brought. Yeah.
Rieger is two. I guess if you think that like it's a low price point, right?
40 to 50.
Okay. No, I mean, but it's like a Kansas
City.
No,
maybe this is a butterscotch.
Oh, wow.
Now we got to taste it. Now we got to taste it.
Okay. I got to put everything in a glass because I've lost what is.
Yeah. So we like, okay, this is what
run
we
them
need.
Under the tap.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait. I think I know how to do this. We pour one of, we pour either two or three into one glass.
Yeah.
Right. And then you pour the Rieger in one glass and then you pour the Dram in one glass and you say, which of these does this glass yes. taste like?
Yes. Okay. Right? So let's.
So we need three clean glasses. Right. Instead of three blind drinks, we're doing three clean glasses.
I don't know. I've never been on this podcast other than a disembodied voice. Are you supposed to be a little drunk at the end?
I mean, that's happened today for sure.
Is that normal?
It's preferred.
Thank you, Taylor, for picking me up.
Yeah, seriously. Okay.
I mean, I
thought
we were going to the bar after.
Okay. All right, so here's... Move your glasses out of the way. We don't need your
need my glasses.
It's the Rosetta Stone of booze.
Your damn dirty glasses. Okay, clean glass one.
Is it, are we dry or are we adding water? We're adding... Look how much water is in this glass,
Jeez
Jack.
Louise. Well,
you are a heathen. How dare you?
Here's another clean glass, you angry mobster.
I have a friend that is famous in a very small section of the scientific community for figuring out something called tin whiskers that had eluded the space community for a whole length of time. And I talked to him about it one time and he very casually said, all I did was make the experiment cleaner. He did nothing other than just make it cleaner and everything worked like it was supposed to. And now he has people call him up, ask for expert opinions on tin whiskers. And he's like, I don't know anything more about tin whiskers than anybody else. I just make them cleaner. Jack, you are the anti-Mark.
What is a tin whisker?
So tin apparently grows whiskers. The tin will start to just grow these long extended hairs of tin. And it's a huge problem if you are engineering things that are designed to go into space and last for a very long time. That's my full explanation of it.
The question is, can they grow in space?
I think they do. Maybe this is not a space limited problem. I'm really not sure.
Three dry glasses.
So we have three clean, dry glasses.
Okay. And they are distinct
three
glasses.
Filthy, sopping wet people.
I'm going to take a picture of this table because it is just a...
I mean, it was worshipful.
It is a miracle of organization, let me tell you.
All right, okay. So the two in contention are...
No, this is an episode of House. But House is my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
House mouth.
He's angry. He's surly.
House mouth.
Cocksure.
Okay.
We're at an hour and 45, guys. Let's see if we can make it to two.
You have great editing skills.
Yeah. Just keep it on my jokes.
Okay, so we're doing two.
You're going to compare two.
We're going to do... Oh, right. So two go in the middle glass.
Yeah, two go in the middle glass.
You guys were worried we would run out of time, but here we are.
Yeah.
Over time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you're going to pour
each of those
into the other two.
Okay, Rieger is going into the Glencairn glass.
The two
is in the middle.
We're trying to figure out which one is two.
Rieger is going into the Glencairn, and we're going to do this without tarnishing each other's opinions.
Fuck that up. You should have done the same glass on each side.
Why?
I would have put Rieger on the right.
Because we would just get that confused again.
So for the most consistency. You should have used that other...
No, but this is blind. You don't have to know.
It's okay. Your nose knows nothing.
Well, then the entire science of these glasses is shot.
I mean, think about the whiskers.
Who's right?
If you need a glass to tell you the difference between two distinct whiskeys, then there's probably not a point.
I'm going to continue to drink this blend of I don't know what's in it. It's delicious.
I believe that wholeheartedly. This is going downhill. God damn, it is good. Number two is fantastic.
So whatever it is, Midsummer or Rieger's, we like it.
I am leaning towards...
So if you happen to tune out as a human listening to this podcast at this point, I understand.
It's that one.
Midsummer.
No, it's this one right here. Is that it?
That's Midsummer.
Maybe, I don't know.
Ooh.
I think those are different.
I think those are different too.
Yeah.
It has to be one of those.
Yeah.
What's this one? I think actually now I think that is this.
Rieger.
Yeah.
You think it's a Rieger?
Yes, yeah. I agree. So these two are the same.
Okay.
For the record, I did pour them correctly.
Yes. Which would make the
number
most sense?
Number two was Rieger's. Number three is a Midwinter's.
So I spoke harshly of my hometown whiskey that I have in a decanter because I love it so much.
Wait, give me this glass over here. This and one? I want to do the dram next to the
I also
other
have
one
Midsummer.
Just as a final. They are similar.
That's interesting that they're so similar.
So if nothing else, listeners can deduce that the Rieger is a fucking value.
If you can find Rieger,
yeah,
I would buy it.
Yeah, 100%. That is
because Midwinter's Night Dram goes for upwards of $100
and is hard to find except for random times when it comes out and is in like Vons and Ralphs.
Right. I think it's becomes rare quickly, but Rieger. All year, if you happen to live in Kansas City.
Well, they just built a new distillery, so it should have wider distribution.
Yep. That's 100%.
Same.
The same.
So what Erica... Okay, so what's the official order for those of us who happen to edit this podcast?
One, Bowmore. Two, Rieger. Three, Midsummer Night's Dram. Four, Kirkland, 20-year aged. Five, Stranahan Sherry Cask.
So, my big takeaway.
Which one was Dram?
Three.
That's really weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and kind of my fear. That was the one that I was like, I don't really care about this.
Well, because it's a blend.
Yeah. And sorry, I lost.
It's straight rye and oak port.
Oh,
but
so
to
it
me,
port.
It had characteristics of a... Yeah, that's why it's an outlier. It had almost weeded characteristics, that butterscotch. Yeah.
That's, you know what's interesting? I had not tried that bottle today. I opened that bottle today and Matt was saying they do a different version every year. And the previous version I had was like maybe 3 years prior to that. Yeah. It's possible if I want to defend my own honor that is a different blend. I do not remember it being a straight.
Was this the one I bought for you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At like Vons or Ralphs or whatever.
Yeah.
That is interesting. Huh?
So like I'm like desperately trying to like rectify what I thought things were to what they actually are. Mm-hmm. So like I need you to read the list again. So number one was Bowmore.
Yes.
Okay. So that's what I originally thought was. That's
Dram.
Very confusing.
How did we do that?
I got nothing right other than my guess that in four and five, there was a Stranahan.
So number two was.
The Rieger.
The Rieger.
Yes.
I couldn't have been more wrong.
No, just egregiously wrong.
And number three was?
Midsummer Night's Dram.
And that's the one we really thought was forgettable.
Yep.
But that's because of what we were putting up against it.
Yeah.
And then number four was El 20-year-old.
Kirkland. Yep.
Which was pretty good.
Yeah.
So for the money, Rieger and Kirkland
really
are your
come out ahead.
Yeah.
They really come out ahead. And the last one was
Stranahan, which we also loved. But
Stranahan
expensive.
Is exceptional. I mean, that I really think that is like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, that was the most unique bottle on the table. That was
like
the only
favorite, that one.
But did you retaste number one?
Yes.
I thought on retaste, number one was like, oh, yes, I know you. We've spent time together.
How did we not know that was a scotch?
It was because it was the first thing.
Yeah, I guess that's right. I mean, yeah.
We should have known it was a scotch, though.
It tastes just like a scotch. Like, there is nothing ambiguous about that.
I don't even know anything. I'm a lay person.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, you, though, host a podcast.
I mean, come on, Matt. You have tasted scotch. You know what scotch tastes
yes,
like.
Yes, I host a podcast with, as of this recording, 8 episodes.
I think I did own a Bowmore. Bowmore?
Where is number four? I want to try number four.
Bowmore 15.
That's what this was.
Yeah, I did. I did own one.
Where? So the interesting wrinkle in Bowmore 15 is that they used to call it the darkest cask.
Yeah.
which meant it was aged in sherry. Mm-hmm. They no longer call it that. So I don't know if it's aged in sherry.
Well, wow. That's interesting.
Fun fact. But fun after fact.
Right? Like, I just thought it was worth putting in the mix.
Man.
So Billy just went back to four?
Four, because this was the one that I had wanted to go back to when I went back to the dram and then decided that I liked the dram more and then confused it with number two and started all of the chaos that has been this last.
And what's crazy about the chaos is, like, I can't really separate from what I thought it was to what it really was. And that's confusing.
I still think, I mean, so number four is what I thought was the scotch.
Right.
And I just retried it. And I kind of stand by that. I kind of taste like a scotch to me.
Which one?
Four? Number four.
Yeah.
I mean, here, Jack, give it a taste. I don't feel ashamed for thinking that was a scotch.
No, it is a scotch.
Kirkland is not a scotch.
Yeah. It's a 20-year-old Speyside.
Well, then I feel much better.
Yeah. No, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. So I can identify at least.
That's good.
It is really good, right?
I'm going to Costco.
So, okay, for those of you out there who live near Costco, which is everyone, did you know you can go to Costco and buy alcohol regardless of membership?
Yes.
You do not need to be a member to buy alcohol. Because as
you're like, I'm buying booze, not toilet paper.
They don't even care. I walked in today.
Yeah.
They just said hello. They didn't care about me.
Mm-hmm.
I went and picked up this bottle and I walked to the cash register and they said, can we have your membership card? And I said, I'm just buying alcohol. And they said, okay. And they rang me up and I paid for it. And that was that.
Yep. I wonder if that was a store.
No. Because what they told me, I went down to Stone Brewery in, famous San Diego.
It's famous.
It's very famous. Yeah. And they said to me, what's the best place to buy Stone beer? And I said, I don't know, like Bonds? And they said, no, Costco. Because what's the definition of a place that you need to have a membership to buy alcohol?
It's cheaper.
That's called a speakeasy. Mm. And that's illegal.
Yeah.
You cannot have to have a membership to buy alcohol. So.
So thank you, 21st Amendment.
Now, this is interesting.
One
this,
of those amendments.
To our, since we have nationwide listeners.
Nationwide.
I will note that this is potentially different in different states. So I spent some time in upstate New York and in this town called Dunkirk. And Dunkirk has, they have drinking clubs. And everybody in town is a member of a drinking club or multiple drinking clubs. And the drinking clubs have lotteries. So it's basically like a raffle.
Yeah.
And that you in, but you have to be there to collect it. And so one drinking club will have theirs on a Tuesday night and one will have theirs on a Thursday night and you can win money. And they are intensely secure, like secure.
Yeah.
Because, the state of New York will sometimes shut them down for illegal gambling. So you have to have like key cards to swipe in and those kinds of things. But in this town, where it's, you know, was a former like working kind of blue collar town where the industry is gone, they just pool together and buy wholesale alcohol and then they serve it at their own drinking clubs, which would very much meet the definition of a speakeasy. I mean, these places are like speakeasies. And I had the experience of, I was working with so background is that I'm a lawyer and I have cases and I have witnesses, and I was working with a witness up there. And he was like, yeah, we can go to one of these drinking clubs, which I really wanted to do. And so we went and there were like four of us that were all lawyers dressed in suits from a day of doing stupid lawyer things. And we walked down this long hallway to a key card and entry, and he swipes the key card and he holds the door open for me. And in this blue collar town, I walk through this door as he's holding it unseen, because it opened towards him, into this blue-collar drinking town where they are afraid of state enforcement, wearing a suit, and everybody stops and stares at me. And I turn around, and for some reason, nobody has walked in the door behind me.
Oh, no.
And it is a solid 20 longest seconds of my life where I felt at any moment somebody was going to hurl a bottle of booze at me. before somebody else walked in, and they were in a suit. And so four of us parade in a suit, and this entire place is dead silent, entirely staring at us before our witness walks in and everybody sort of shrugs and goes back to what they were doing. That remains one of the most uncomfortable experiences of my entire life.
I bet.
So anyway, in New York, Costco may not have the same restrictions. Well, right.
So I think the caveat is if your Costco sells alcohol, they don't all sell alcohol.
Yeah, they wouldn't all sell alcohol, and maybe some don't have the same restriction. I don't know. It's an interesting question.
Yeah.
But anyway, but you should try it.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
And that Kirkland is really good.
Yeah.
Where's the bottle? It's the one bottle I don't see.
Yeah, we've got two more.
One more. Boy, that Bomber is not that hot.
What is it?
43%.
It's not bad. That might explain why it was an easy introduction.
Yeah, and I mean, Matt watering down his 43% is...
Matt waters everything down.
Me too. So I see it says Alexander Marine Company, Aberdeen, Scotland. This is a 20-year Speyside single malt scotch whiskey with a sherry cask finish. Is this something you can get at Trader Joe's? They have Alexander Murray scotch.
They might. I don't know. Because I think
there's
stuff...
That's also worth investigating.
Right. Their stuff is it also Kirkland? This is specifically Kirkland branded.
I think maybe they both white label...
Buy from the same...
Yeah, because I know Alexander Murray like white labels to everybody.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think... We maybe reached the end of our
perhaps
limits.
I have to say, this was the most challenging tasting I have ever done.
Yeah.
Hands down. I sit here a bit baffled and very, very humbled. And I think as we said earlier in the podcast, hubris precedes the fall.
Yeah.
Because you had sex with your mother.
I was so, that is Oedipus for the second time. I was so confident.
I knew too.
I was like, I got this, guys. Don't worry. I got this. I knew two of them. So I was like, oh, this is going to be easy. And they were so different from your three that I was like, oh, I know where these fall in the line. This is easy. I was so wrong.
Yep. As I think about it, what really threw us off, I think, is we all thought that the J. Rieger was going to be the sweetest, most sherry, and the Stranahan's was by far.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
That and not being able to identify a scotch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought there was only one scotch in the mix, and there were two.
Yeah,
well, you led us astray.
Well, I do lead astray.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I mean, if you look at my bio, it says the one who leads astray.
Okay.
I feel like that's a line from the Bible about sinister, somebody's camp you don't want to be in.
All right. Well, we're going to end this massacre and turn off the microphones.
Yep. I will talk to you all the next time on the telephone.
Yeah. Billy will be that garbled mess that you hear. And when Billy's unavailable, we'll call old Matt.
Yeah.
Old Matt. Can't wait.
All right. Thanks, guys, for listening.